Today's shiur is Masechta Yuma Daf Lamed, and we're going to begin on Daf Chof Tes Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Zeh Klal Hoy B'Mikdash. We learned in the Mishnah that the rule is that if somebody urinates, a kohen urinates, he has to have Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. If he moves his bowels, he has to go to the mikveh, he has to have tefillah. If, obviously, he would have to go use the bathroom outside of the Azara, the halacha would be they would have to go to the mikveh anyway, because as we will learn later in the today, any time a kohen enters the Azara, he first has to go to the mikveh. Here we're discussing would a person use bathroom that was in the Azara, one of the lishkas, in one of the chambers. There's a machloikis harishonim, that if someone moved his bowels and he had to have tefillah, does he also have to have Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim? Is Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim included in tefillah, or is Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim a separate issue and he would have to have both tefillah and Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim? It really probably depends on a machlokes that we once quoted. Does Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim have to take place from the water in the kiyor, or does Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim any water okay? If Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim could be done with any water, so if he went to the mikveh, Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim is certainly included. If, however, the halach is that Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim has to be used kir water, so by going to the mikveh you haven't done Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim with kir water, and you therefore would have to have a separate Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim besides tefillah.
And Yom Kippur, when the Kohen went back and forth, how would that play into it?
Irrelevant. Says the Gemara, Bishlama Regolub. So I understand why the feet have to be washed, mishum the tzaitzis. When a person urinates, he might have had the tzaitzis, drops of urine, fall on his feet, and they have to be cleaned through Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. So the Sfas Emes asks a very fundamental question. Fine, he got his feet somewhat dirty within the tzaitzis, and he has to clean them. But why does he have to have Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim? He should take a towel and wash his feet. So the Sfas Emes and Michas Chinuch both ask this question, and they seem to say that the halacha, why is Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim required every time a person urinates? It's because he sort of had a hesach adas. He moved away from the status. So just by washing his feet, he doesn't come back to the status of Kedusha. He has to come to a higher level of having Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. Says the Gemara, El Yadayim Maitama. So good, the feet have to be washed because they got dirty. But why do the hands have to be washed? So again, the Michas Chinuch and Sfas Emes ask a strong question. Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim go together. So if we're saying we understand why the feet have to be washed, obviously the hands will also have to be washed because they travel together. Says the Michas Chinuch, obviously the Gemara thinks that there could be Kiddush Raglayim without Kiddush Yadayim. They don't necessarily have to travel together. And that's why the Gemara's question is, even though we understand why Kiddush Raglayim is required, why is Kiddush Yadayim required just because the feet got dirty? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Abba, Zoysa Maris, Mitzvah L'Shafshef. After a person urinates, he has to not only clean himself, he has to clean himself with his hands, because we don't want any remnant of urine left. Why? Because Mesailele Rav Ami, Domer Rav Ami, Osel Adam Shietzei Benitzoitze Shal Gabi Raglof, a person is not allowed to walk out with drops of urine on his feet. Neshenirke Kris Shifcha. The difference between a Kris Shifcha is a person that can't have children. His organ is mutilated. Such a person, when he urinates, the urine doesn't go in a kiluach, in a stream into the bathroom, they go straight down and they can go to the legs. Because there'll be Maitzi Laza Banav Shemim Zerim. If people will see that he has his clothing feet dirty, they'll say he must be a Kris Shifcha. But then his children can't be his, because a Kris Shifcha can't have children, and the people will start saying that his wife had an adulterous relationship and his children are not his children. Therefore, we should do, he should be careful to wash his hands. And once he washes his hands, So once he uses his hands to clean off the urine, he also has to have Kiddush Yodayim also. A few points that the Mefarshim make. What happens if he only washes himself off with one hand? Do you have to do Kiddush Yodayim on both hands? So Mefarshim say there is no such a thing of doing Kiddush Yodayim on one hand. If you're going to have to do it on one, you have to do it on both. The Mefarshim also point out, the Gemara seems to be saying two different things. First, the Gemara says, Osul al Adam. It's an Isser. It's a prohibition to go out when you have, when your feet are wet from urine. And then the Gemara says, Mitzvah. It's a Mitzvah. So is it a Mitzvah? Mitzvah l'shavshif, the Gemara says. Is it a Mitzvah or is it an Isser? So Mefarshim explain, if the person is not going to go outdoors, it's only a Mitzvah. If he's going to go outdoors where people could see him, not only is it an Isser, it's a prohibition to walk out. The Rabbeinu Tam, Tosfos Yesharim calls to Rabbeinu Tam, makes an interesting point, lahalocha, we don't pass him that way. He says, from here we see that the only reason a person has to wash his hands is because he washed his feet after he urinated. What would be the halacha, like most situations, when a person goes to the bathroom, he doesn't get his feet dirty nowadays. So he doesn't have to use his hands to clean his feet. So says the Rabbeinu Tam, so then he wouldn't have to wash his hands. Most Rishonim argue with Rabbeinu Tam, and they say, when don't you taka don't have to do Kiddush Yodayim Raglayim if your feet don't get dirty and your hands don't get dirty. But washing your hands is a different halacha, and that certainly is required. If a person uses the bathroom, even for urination, and he doesn't get his hands dirty, he still has to wash his hands. So the Gemara now, the Mefarshim say, actually goes off to a different subject, but since we spoke about the subject of using the bathroom, the Gemara speaks about related issues. Amra Papa, Tsoi b'mekoima, if somebody has waste in his anus, Oslikris Krishma, he's not allowed to read Krishma in such a situation. Ask the Gemara, Hechidami, what is the situation that Rav Papa is discussing? Eden Neris, if it's talking about a situation where the tzoya is visible, pshita. Because the halacha is that if tzoya is visible, if it's anywhere on you, on your garment, or near you, you're not allowed to read Krishma. Either lightning is, if the tzoya is in the person's body, and it hasn't come out, we know, lainit natar l'malach ha'asharis. The Torah wasn't given to malachim that a person should be perfectly clean before he reads Krishma. And this concept of Leinit L'Tayr L'Malach HaSharis is an important concept in Halacha. I'll give you some examples. One example is regarding the Shailuf Taloyim. We're not allowed to eat worms. But the Torah doesn't require us to put lettuce under our x-ray machine to make sure that there's no Taloyim. Shlomo Zalman Orbach gives an interesting example. He says, the Halacha is, let's say you have to take Maaser from nuts. So you have a bag of walnuts, let's say, and you have to take Maaser. So maybe the walnut that you chose to take mice, to be the miser, is an empty walnut, or is a rotten walnut. The Torah doesn't require you to put the walnut under an x-ray machine to see the status of the walnut. You take it and you assume that it's fine. The Sefer Chassidim goes even a step further. He says, sometimes when a person tries to be like a malach, he ends up doing the wrong thing. He gives an example. We're going to learn that you're not allowed to daven, or you're not allowed to wear tefillin when your body isn't clean. So let's say a person is so concerned that his body isn't clean that he's not going to end up davening, or he's not going to end up wearing tefillin. So that's obviously not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects from us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to live a normal life. So what is the example that Rav Papa is referring to? Says the Gemara, Leitzricha, he's referring to a situation, the nearest, the Yoshev nearest, when he's in a sitting position, the tzoya is visible. Oimid ve'enemiris. But when he's standing, it's not visible. So tells Rav Papa, under such circumstances, he's not allowed to say Krishna, not allowed to daven. Ask the Gemara, Omaishnam tzoya b'sorai. Why is this different than tzoya on his body? Ditma, the Gemara Masech the Brocha says, tzoya ala b'sorai, if somebody has tzoya on his body, or his hands are in the bathroom, Rav Huna Amar Mutalikris Krishma. He's still allowed to say Krishma. Why? Because Rav Huna says that the pasuk says kol hanishoma tahal ka. The only time you're not allowed to say krishma is of an aver shanishoma that you use to breathe, like the mouth, the nose. Then not allowed to have tsaya. A different aver, you're allowed to say krishma. So ask the mefarshim if that's Rav Huna's psak. So why is it only if his hands are in the bathroom? If all of his body is in the bathroom, besides his head, he should be allowed to say krishma. So mefarshim answer that in such a circumstance, even though the breathing aver outside of the bathroom, he would still not be allowed to say krishma. Why? So they explain, because since most of his body is in the bathroom, even Rav Huna would agree you can't say krishma. Rav Chisda is more makel, more machmer. Rav Chisda ama asla krishma. And not allowed to say krishma because Rav Chisda says, the pasuk says, kol atzmoisei tamarna Hashem yikamaycha, all of my limbs. So if any limb has tsoya, you're not allowed to say krishma. So explain the Rishonim. Certainly Rav Papa halacha and Rav Huna don't work. Rav Huna says that only the breathing avram are a problem. And Rav Papa says even if the tsoya is in the mekayma, you can't say krishma. But even Rav Chisda, the Rishonim explain, only spoke about tsoya that's in an visible area. But the mekayma, which is only visible when you're sitting and it's covered, would Rav Chisda say you can't say krishma? Says the Gemara, the mekayma nafizuma. The tsoya in its place is worse than anywhere else, because it has more of a smell and more of a decay. And that's why tsoya in that place is more of a concern, and krishma can't be said. And Taka the Mishnah Brura quotes the Shalah, that a person has to be careful to make sure that he's clean, because otherwise he's not allowed to say krishma. And the Mishnah Brura says if somebody said krishma and he discovers that he wasn't clean in that area, he has to repeat krishma. Regarding tefillah, is a machloikis. Mishnah Brura brings down many achronim. A machloikis achronim, would he even have to repeat tefillah? But of course the right thing is not to have the shayla and make sure that he's totally clean in that area. A shayla that comes up, the Michas Yitzchak discusses the shayla about if somebody, Rachman Otzlan, has a colostomy bag. So could he say krishma or tefillah? Because it's tzaya. So Michas Yitzchak seems to say that if the person knows that the tzaya is coming out of his body, he's certainly not allowed to daven at that time. But let's say the person doesn't feel that there's anything going out of his body. There's only a bag. He gives reasons that you could be makel. Because he says that the Gemara here uses the concept of b'mekayma, that the tzoya in its specific area is nafiz zuhuma, has a lot of zuhuma, and is therefore inappropriate to daven on such circumstances. When it's in the bag, it's not b'mekayma. So if the bag is covered and the person doesn't see it, it would probably, he say, be permissible to daven and say krishma. Tan Rabban. So the Gemara brings down the following brisa. Halacha basuda. The halacha regarding eating is as follows. Adam yoytze l'hashtun mayim. If a person in the middle of the meal goes out to urinate, noytel yoda achas, here he washes one hand. So Mefarshim point out, before we say by Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, that if you only used one hand, you have to do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim on both. Here it says that if you only used one hand, you only have to wash one. Why? So it goes back to something we said earlier. Kiddush Adayim Raglayim and the Tilas Yadayim are not the same. Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, you always have to do both hands. There's no such a thing as doing Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim only on one hand. The Tilas Yadayim, however, it is possible that only the hand that touched what has to be washed, and if the other hand didn't touch, then you don't have to wash. V'nichnas, notably Adam Achas, v'nichnas, he came in, or Dibem Chaveroi. Let's say somebody in the middle of the meal started talking to his friend, the Hiflig, and he was away from the table for a while. The halach is noitel shtei yodov. He has to wash both hands v'nichnas and then come in. Ukshenoitel, when he washes his hands, lo yitel b'mechutz, he shouldn't wash his hands away from the table v'yikones and then come into the table. Nechshad, people will accuse him that he didn't wash netilas yadayim. Ela nichnas, he should first come back to the table. The Yoshim Kamer sit down by his place. The Noitel Shtei Yadov wash his hands in front of everybody. So everybody should see that he's washing his hands. Or Machsa Tfiachal Orchim. How does everybody see? So Pasha Pshat in the Gemara is, he shows the towel to everybody. Tfiach means the towel. Everybody sees that he has the towel, and it's obvious that he's washing his hand. Why? So Rishonim explained like this. We're dealing with a situation where a person finished his meal. And people think, and he's not going to wash his hands, and people are going to see him coming back, they're going to think he didn't wash his hands because he's not going to eat. And then what happens if he eats? People are going to say he used the bathroom, and then he didn't wash the Tilas Yadayim. And that's what the Gemara says. Amar Chizda, Lo Yamar El Lishtais. And there are times they used to finish the meal, not bench, just sit down and drink. So people are going to think that he didn't wash his hands because he didn't intend to eat. He didn't wash the Tilas Yadayim. But actually, then he may actually eat, and people will accuse him of eating without washing his hands. Avalecha, let's say he's in the middle of a meal, and he walks out. There he doesn't have to wash his hands in front of everybody. Noitlum b'chutz v'nichnas. He can wash his hands not in the room. Why? The made the idea the nanina data. Everybody realizes that a person's not going to use the bathroom, move his bath, and come back to the meal without washing his hands. Basic manners. So they're not going to accuse him. It's only if he comes back to shtir that he may be accused. Says Rav Nachman b'Yitzchak. V'adno, I feel lishtois. Even if I'm only coming back to drink, Nami made the idea, everybody knows that Nina Datoi, I wouldn't come back without washing my hands, and therefore, I don't have to wash my hands in front of the people. Nobody's going to come to accuse me that I didn't wash my hands. So let's talk halacha l'maisa. The halacha l'maisa is if somebody in the middle of the meal goes out to urinate or use the bathroom. He certainly has to wash his hands. The halacha, however, is that he doesn't have to wash his hands in front of everybody, because today, nowadays, everybody, it's assumed, will not come back to a meal after using a bathroom without washing his hands. So he doesn't have to wash his hands in front of the people. If he only urinated, he doesn't have, when he washes his hands and he's in the middle of a meal and he washes his hands, he doesn't have to make an until shadayim. If he moved his bowels, it's machloikis hapoiskim. Does he have to make an until shadayim or not? The Shulchan Aruch Rav says that you don't have to make an until shadayim. Wash your hands, but don't make an until shadayim. The Mishnah Berurah says you have to make an until shadayim if a person in the middle of the meal moved his bowels. If a person was mesiach das, a person in the middle of the meal did something else, does he have to wash his hands? He certainly should wash his hands. And the shaila comes up if a person in the middle of the meal fell asleep. Does he have to wash his hands when he wakes up? So the mashal is mekel. The mashal says, under all circumstances, if he fell asleep when he wakes up, he has to wash his hands but not make a bracha on the tilas yadayim. Most paiskim certainly hold that if a person just fell asleep in his chair, it happens sometimes Friday night, he doesn't have to wash his hands, or even if he has to wash his hands, he doesn't have to make him tilas yadayim. But let's say somebody in the middle of the meal went and lay down on the couch or in bed for a while. It's a machloikis. If everybody seems to agree that he has to wash his hands, but the question is, does he have to say the tilas yadayim or not? Is a machloikis hapoiskim if he does or he doesn't. One more interesting shaila. We spoke about soyeh b'mekoyma, that the Gemara said that you're not allowed to say Krishma Davin when the Tsoyeh B'mekoyma. Says the Magen Avraham that a person should never say Krishma or Tefillah near a child. Why? Because we always have to be concerned that the child did not clean himself properly after using the bathroom. Says the Berhetev and the Divrei Chaim, we don't understand what the Magen Avraham is saying. Tsoyeh B'mekoyma is talking to the person himself. I'm now allowed to say Krishma, I'm not allowed to daven if I have tsoya b'mekoyma. But if there's somebody near me who there's no tsoya visible to me that has tsoya b'mekoyma, that shouldn't prevent me from saying krishma. And therefore, the Divrei Chaim and the Be'er Heitav said we don't understand the Magen Avraham. But the Divrei Chaim goes a step further. He says that if a child that we have to be concerned has tzoyib mekayma says a bracha, I'm allowed to answer him amen. Why? Because I don't have to be concerned that he has tzoyib mekayma. Says the Pasuk Shulchan to the Divrei Chaim, I understand your disagreement with the Magen Avraham when you say that I could daven near a child and it doesn't affect my ability to daven if he has tzoyib mekayma. But if the child has tzoyib mekayma, he has no right to daven. Because as we just learned, you're not allowed to daven when you have tzoyib mekayma. And if he has no right to daven, you have no right to answer amen to his bracha. And even the Pasuk Shulchan says a very important point. He says, even if you'll say, I'm answering amen because of chinuch, and I'm teaching him to daven because of chinuch, that he should daven or say brachas. He says, chinuch only could be when he does the mitzvah properly. To be mechanech a child to say a bracha, to be mechanech a child to daven, when he has tzoyib and mekayma, that's not chinuch. Chinuch is to teach a child to do the mitzvah properly. And therefore, a child with a concern at tzoyib and mekayma should not be taught, according to the Pasuk Shulchan, to daven and to say brachas, and that you should answer amen to those brachas. Says the Mishnah, Ein adam nichnas lazara lavoida. A person is not allowed to enter the zara to avoida, feel tar, even if he's tar, at shiitpol, until he goes to the mitzvah. So there's a big machlokes with Rishonim how to understand this Mishnah. Rashi says that it's not specifically a person going to do the avoida. Even if a person is a Yisrael and he's going into the Azara, and it's the Ezra's Yisrael, not the Ezra's Noshim, he has to go to the mikvah. And he brings a very nice proof, because the Mishnah uses the terminology Ein Adam. Why did it say Adam? It should have said Kayin. Because even not a Kayin, nobody's allowed to go into the Azara unless he goes to the mikvah first. Tosfos agrees with Rashi and Halach, but he makes the following distinction. He says, If a person's going into Dura Avoida, he has a Chiv Doraisa. If a person's just going into the Azara, not for Avoida, the Chiv is Midrabonim. Tosfos Yishonim says that you only chayiv to go to the mikveh if you're doing Avoida, but he has a very broad definition of Avoida. He says Avoida means even not just bringing a carbon, anything that's related to the Avoida. And we'll have a proof to the Tosfos Yishonim and Amud Beis Mitzvashem. Tosfos Rid is very machmer. He explains the Mishnah as if there's a vav between the word Lazor Ula and Lavoida. And he says the Mishnah is teaching us like this. Number one, Ein Adam Nichnas Lazor. You're not allowed to go into the Lazor unless you go to the mikvah. Furthermore, let's say a Kain went to the mikvah because he was going into the Lazor. And then, he didn't intend to do the Avoida. And then when he's in the Azara, he decides to do Avoida, even though that he went to the mikveh before he went to the Azara, he has to go again to the mikveh because he's going to do the Avoida. Says the Mishnah, Chamesh Tfilos, the Sarah Kedushim, the 5 times going to the mikveh, and 10 times Kiddush Adayim Reglayim, Toivul Kain Godel Mekadosh Bei Beyoyim. The Kain Godel has to go to the mikveh and do Kiddush Adayim Reglayim that many times on Yom Kippur. The Kulam Kodesh Abes Parva. All the times that he went to the mikveh, he did it in the mikveh, which is in the base of Parva, which is in the Kodesh. Chutz Mezubavad, besides the first time. The first time, he did the tefillah outside the base of the mikdash. Why? So, Pashup Shat. He can't go into the base of the mikdash until he goes to the mikveh. So he has to do the first tefillah outside that he should be able to go into the Azara. Or, the halacha that he does the tefillah and kiddush tefillah in the mikveh is only when he's going from one beg of kodesh to another beg of kodesh. Here he's not going from beg of kodesh to beg of kodesh, so he doesn't have to do it in the kodesh. Parshu sadnei shabbutz beinoy lebeinam. And before he went to the mikveh, they put out a white sheet to separate between him and everybody else for tznius reasons. Now the Gvura Sarid makes a point. He says everybody will agree. It's important in putting this in our thought process before we start the Gemara. Everybody will agree that the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, those 5 tefillahs, is midaraisa, or halach l'maaseh b'Sinai at least. We're going to be talking about not Yom Kippur. Sholas ben Zoymai, and they asked ben Zoymai, tefillah zulamo. Our Mishnah said before you go to Azara, you have to have a tefillah. Why? Amalhem. So he responded, Omah mishanah mekodesh l'kodesh. If a person goes from the Kodesh HaKadoshim to the Kodesh, or vice versa, or makom shanish karis l'makom shanish karis, If a person goes into the Kaddish for no reason, he gets Karis, Chas V'Shalom. He goes to the Kaddish Kashim, he gets Karis. Still, we know, Tal and Tefillah, on Yom Kippur, Hamishana Michol LeKaddish. If somebody goes from outside to the Kaddish HaGadashim, or Makam She'en Anish Karis, or Makam She'anish Karis, Ein Adin Shal Tal and Tefillah, he certainly required Tefillah. So the Taisus Shalom asks, this language seems to be very redundant. Hamishana Mikaddish LeKaddish, or Makam She'anish Karis, LeMakam She'anish Karis. Isn't that saying the exact same thing? So he says, Hamishana Mikaddish LeKaddish means when a person is changing from one, when the Kohen Gadol is changing from one set of Big Day Kaddish to another set. And from Anish Karis to Anish Karis, from the Kaddish to the Kaddish HaGadashim. Rabbi Yehuda gives a different reason. Srach Tfilhu. The reason a person has to go to the mikveh before he goes into the Azara is Kadesh Yishka Tuma Yishenish Shabiyadai. That will serve as a way for him to focus. Maybe I'm Tomei for Yifrosh, and he won't go into the Beis HaMikdash Tomei. Says the Gemara, but Micah Miflegi, what is the practical machloikas between Rabbi Yehuda and Ben Zoyma? Says the Gemara, Bechule Avoidika Miflegi. If somebody went into the Azara, or did the Avoida without going to the mikveh first. Le Ben Zoyma, according to Ben Zoyma, Mechel Avoida. Since he learns it from Yom Kippur, the Avoida is disqualified. Le Rabbi Yehuda, it's only to serve as a reminder, and therefore if a person entered the Beis HaMikdash, or did the Avoida without going to the Mikveh, Le Mechel Avoida, he doesn't disqualify the Avoida. Ask the Taisus Shoshanim, why don't we say that the Nafka Mina is that if the person went to the Mikveh the night before, according to Ben Zoyma, he would have to go to the mikveh again. Because the halach is that before you go in, you have to go to the mikveh. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that the entire purpose is just to be a reminder. So what's the difference if I have the reminder now or I have the reminder the night before? So Mefarshim answer, since we don't see that anybody makes this distinction, there's no reason to believe there is such a distinction. And everybody agrees that the mikveh you have to go right before. That's why the Gemara thinks that this is perhaps the difference. Ask the Gemara, or Le Ben Zoyma Mi Mechel, is that actually the case? That according to Ben Zoyma, if somebody didn't go to the mikveh before doing the Avoida becomes disqualified. For Tanya, we learned in the Braisa. Kain Gadol Shloi Tavol, if a Kain Gadol didn't go to the mikveh, the din that we just learned in the Mishnah, or like Kidei Shpein Beged LeBeged, or didn't do Kidei Shadayim Reglayim, between changing the Big Day Kaddish, or Ben Avoida LaVoida, Avoidosak Shera. The Avoida is Kasher. Echid Kain Gadol, Vechid Kain Hedyot. This then applies both to Kain Gadol and both to Kain Hedyot. Shlei Kaddish Yod of Aragel of Shachris. If he didn't do Kiddush Adayim Reglaim Shachris, Vavad Avoidosak Psula. So we see that if the person didn't go to the mikveh, the Avoida is Kasher. So the way the Mefarshim explain is like this. Ben Zoyma is learning. From where does Ben Zoyma know that you have to go to the mikveh? From the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. So we have a rule, Daya Lova Min Adin Lias Kenidin, that if I learn something from a source, it has to be comparable to the source. So if the source din to learn that you have to go to the mikveh is the tefillah on Yom Kippur, and the halacha is that on Yom Kippur, if somebody goes to the mikveh, if he didn't go to the mikveh, the void is anyway kosher. So how can I say that the rest of the year, if somebody goes to the mikveh, doesn't go to the mikveh, the void is possible? That's the Gemara's kasha. Ask the Mefarshim, who says that Ben Zoyma agrees with this price? Maybe this price is going according to Rabbi Yehuda. So they say, number one, they say that there's no reason to believe that this price is a machlokes. Everything points that everybody agrees with this price. But then the Sfasem says a very lumdish answer. We said when we learned the Mishnah that on Yom Kippur there's no machlokes. On Yom Kippur everybody agrees that the Kohen Gadol has to go to the mikveh 5 times once before entering. So there is no machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Ben Zoyma on Rabbi Yehuda. Everybody agrees that on Yom Kippur you have to go to the mikveh, and everybody agrees that before, if you don't go, it's not possible. So therefore, we have a question. We see that Yom Kippur, if the Kohen Gadol has to go, but if he doesn't go, it doesn't become disqualified. So certainly the same thing should apply all year. So again, we go back to the beginning. What is the practical nafkamina between Ben Zoyma's explanation why tefillah is required before going to the Azara and Rabbi Yehuda's? answers the Gemara, Elam Lamekim Basei Komefgi. If somebody went to the Azara, or somebody did the Avoid without going to the Mikvah, is he over an Asei? Liben Zoyme, according to Ben Zoyme Koy Basei, because the Torah says, Rockets B'mayim, before going to the Azara you should wash, and Rabbi Yehuda like Koy Basei. So the Maritz Chayis says, interesting concept. He says, throughout Shas, we have a Shaila, Komis the Amr Rachmana La Isavit, anything the Torah said don't do, Iavid, if you did it Mahani, is it effective? Iavid Loi Mahani. So he says, from here we have a proof that that only is by a lav, not by an assay. Because here, we're saying that according to Ben Zoyma, if somebody did the Avoida without going to the Mikvah, he is over an assay. But the Gemara doesn't say that perhaps Loi Mahani, that it's ineffective. Why? Because everybody agrees, says the Maritz, that since he was only over an assay, he ovid, even though he did it and he shouldn't have done it, Mahani, it still will work and it will be effective. Ask the Gemara, Omi Islay Rabbi Yehuda Hai Svara, does Rabbi Yehuda subscribe to the Svara of requiring tefillah for Tanya? We learned in a Braisa. The halach is that if Metzaira is declared that he's cured, he has to wait 7 days, and the seventh day he goes to the mikveh, toivel, he goes to the mikveh, v'oymid b'shan nikner, and then he stands b'shan nikner. He has to bring, on the eighth day, the seventh day at night he goes to the mikveh, has herv shemesh, and then on the eighth day in the morning, he has to bring three kabonas, kamechatas, karban osham, karban oilop. The blood of the karban osham and a loig shemen, and a loig of oil. The blood of the karban osham has to be sprinkled on his right earlobe, on his right thumb, and his right toe. And the oil has to be spritzed in the base of Migdosh, and then also spritzed by him standing in the Shaar Nikner on his right earlobe, right thumb, and right toe. Rabbi Yudayma, ain't it tzorich tefillah shekvat tovel me'erev? He doesn't have to go to the mikveh because he already went to the mikveh yesterday. So we see that you don't have to go to the mikveh if, according to Rabbi Yehuda, answers the Gemara, the Braisa itself gives the reason. He already went to the mikveh yesterday evening. That's why he doesn't have to go today. But that doesn't mean Rabbi Yehuda says that you don't have to go to the mikveh. He's saying that if you went to the mikveh the night before, then you don't have to go in the morning. But you certainly have to go to the mikveh before going to the Azara. Ask the Brisker Rav. If according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you went to the mikveh the night before, it's adequate, so why in our Mishnah is there a requirement that the Kohen has to go to the mikveh in the morning? If he went to the mikveh on the evening of Yom Kippur, he shouldn't have to go in the morning. Answers the Brisker Rav, and that's a concept that we've been saying a number of times today. Yom Kippur in the morning is a different chiyuv. There's a special chiv, midaraisa, mi'alok l'moshe m'sinai, that before going to the Azara, Yom Kippur in the morning, the Kohen Gadol has to go to the mikveh. That's a separate thing, you can't ask from that to anywhere else. It's interesting to note, the Mefarshim say, this mitzayra, we're telling him to go to the mikveh on the eighth day in the morning. He doesn't have the kapara until after he brings the kapara, the gabonis. So what's the point of going to the mikveh? He's not going to have the complete kapara. Say to Mefarshim, from here we see, as much of a kapara he could have, as much of a tahari he could have, he should do. Where is this relevant? They say regarding Psochim. We learned the Masechta Psochim, Tumah Hotcha B'tzibur. If most of Klai Yisrael are Tamei Meis, the latter bring the Karban Pesach. So let's say they didn't have enough time to become Tahor before Pesach. Hazor Shlishi V'Shvi. Should they go to the mikveh anyway? And here we see that even though Hazar Shlish Vishvi they didn't have, whatever they can have, they should have, and they should go to the mikveh. Ask the Gemara. Or the Karlei my Karlei. The Gemara attempted to ask a question on Rabbi Yehuda. Here you see that the Mitzari doesn't have to go to the mikveh. Ask the Gemara, what was the question? The Braisa itself explained why he doesn't have to go to the mikveh. Because he went the night before. So what was the kasha? You have to understand the Havamina also. It says the Gemara, Mishum the Kabbalah Lemimra Achrit Allah. Really, the question is a different question. It says in the Braisa, there was a chamber in the Azara called Lishkas HaMitzroim. Shesham Mitzroim Tovlim. That's where the Mitzroim goes to the mikveh. Not only do the Mitzrayim have to go, El Kol Adam. So we have a kasha. Here it says that he has to go to the mikveh, and here it says he doesn't have to go to the mikveh. Answer the Gemara's lo kasha. Had Tavel. Here he went to the mikveh the night before, so he doesn't have to go the day. Had Lo Tavel. He didn't go the night before, so he has to go the 8th in the morning. Ask the Gemara, either Lo Tavel, if he didn't go the night before, so just going to the mikveh won't be enough, because we explained that he has to have Harav Shemesh. So if it's the 8th day in the morning, and he's going to the mikveh for the first time, he can't just go and go bring the kabbonis, because he didn't have Harav Shemesh. Harav Shemesh boy. Says the Gemara, Ela Idi V'Idi Tavel. You have to explain both braises that he went to the mikveh on the 7th day. Had the Asach Taite. In the braise that says that he should go to the mikveh again on the 8th day, because he was Messiah Das after going to the mikveh on the 7th day. Had the Asach Taite. The braise that says that he doesn't have to go to the mikveh again on the 8th day is because he was not Messiah Das after going to the mikveh on the 7th day. Ask the Gemara, I Asach Taite, if we're talking about a person who is Messiah Das, so then Azor Shlishi V'Shvi, boy. Then there's a concern that he became a Tamei Meis. And if he became a Tamei Meis, before going to the Beis Hamikdash, he has to be sprinkled with the Mechatos of the Paraduma on the third day and the seventh day of the purification process. Domer of the story by Mosen, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Hesach Adas, and some is Metziach Das, Tzorach Azor Shlishi V'Shvi. So it's not enough just to have the mikveh the 8th day in the morning. And the Sfasem explains, even if the person knows for sure that he didn't become a Tamei Meis, but he's concerned that maybe he became a Tamei Sheres, it wouldn't be enough that he should just have mikveh the 8th day in the morning. He would have to go to the mikveh the 8th day in the morning, have Harav Shemesh, and then only go the 9th day to the Beis HaMikdash. Yet here we're saying that it's enough that he went to the mikveh on the 8th in the morning. Says the Gemara, Eli Idi V'Idi D'Loy Asach Taitei. He went to the mikveh on the 7th day, and he was not Messiah Das after going to the mikveh. V'Loy Kasha. So why does he have to go to the mikveh again, according to the second braisa on the 8th day? Hod Tovel Adas Bias Migdash. When the person went to the mikveh, in the case where he went to the mikveh on the 7th day, he had a mind, a high level of Kedusha, explains the Chazon Ish. The highest level of Kedusha, that he should be able to enter the Azara, and therefore Yehuda says he doesn't have to go to the mikveh again on the 8th day. Hod the Loy Tovel Adas Bias Migdash. He didn't have that level of intent in mind, so he has to go to the mikveh again on the 8th day, but he doesn't have to have Harav Shemesh. It's only mikveh al das bias mikdash. That's one way of explaining the stira habraisis between Rabbi Yehuda. Vibais ema, tani le mitzayir amru el kol adam. You're right. A mitzayir goes to the mikveh on the 7th day, and it's enough. The braisa that says that he goes to the mikveh on a day is not about mitzayir, it's a regular person. Ravina Rabbi Yehuda says a different answer. The Devarim Rabbanim Kamalahu. Rabbi Yehuda is speaking to Rabbanim. He's saying like this. Lididi Mitzarah ain't tefillah. I hold the Mitzarah on the 8th day doesn't have to go to the mikveh. Why? Because he went on the 7th day to the mikveh, and that's enough. Lididchu, according to you, oidali easy mis, to loy Mitzarah bevar amru, el kol adam. Why don't you agree that everybody should have to go to the mikveh? Easy means admit. Why don't you agree with me? Face up to it. Rabbanon, the Rabban said like this. Mitzayra, by Mitzayra we agree that he requires Tumah, because Daesh for Tumah. The Mitzayra was a Tumah person for a while. A person can be Mitzayra for years, Rachman al-Utslan. So that's why we require that he have to feel before. Kol Adam, lay Daesh Tumah. Everybody else is not in that status, and we can't compare them. Ask the Gemara. Amle Abayi le Rabbi Yosef. So Abayi says to Rabbi Yosef, name Rabbanim, the pligalei de Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbanim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, and they say that a Mitzayra has to go to the mikveh. What's pshat in them? Is it because they have a very high level of requirement, and they're going to hold like, this is the way Rashi explains, they're going to hold like Ben Zoyma, that every person before he goes to the Azara has to have tefillah? Is it because they hold like Ben Zoyma Sfirlei? Avahayda Tari Mitzayra, even though they only speak about Mitzayra, is like the Acha Koichot of Yehuda. They want to show how far Yehuda is Mekel. Rabbi Yehuda says the Metzora doesn't have to go that morning to the mikveh. He could go the night before. And they say that no, a Metzora has to go that morning. But it's not really that they only are speaking about a Metzora. They really hold everybody has to go to the mikveh. Oidim, or perhaps, Shani Metzora, the Rabbanon, are really very mekel. This way Tosfos tells us to learn the Gemara. Ben Zayma holds that anybody goes to the Azara has to go to the mikveh, and according to Ben Zayma, it's Midaraisa. Rabbi Yehuda holds that everybody goes to the Azara has to go to the mikveh, Midrabbanon. And the Rabbanon will hold, they know, they don't have to go to the mikveh, not Midaraisa, not Midrabbanon. The only person that has to go to the mikveh before going to the Azara is the Mitzayra, because he's Daesh B'tumah. He's accustomed to getting Tumah. That's why here we have to be Machmer on that he should go to the mikveh first. So how do we understand the Rabbanon? Do we understand them to be machmirim and really require everybody to go to the mikveh? And they only use Mitzayra to highlight their machloikus Rabbi Yehuda? Or are they really mekel and it's only Mitzayra that they're going to require going to the mikveh because he's Daesh B'tumah, he's accustomed to getting Tumah, everybody else will not. Amalei, so he explained, the Rabbanon are very big mekilim. Shani Mitzayra the Daesh B'tumah. Says the Gemara. Before we go further, so Tosfos Shonim brings a proof to his explanation in the Mishnah. I said I'll just mention this. In the Mishnah, Tosfos Shonim said that avoid doesn't mean strictly bringing carbon. It means anything that involves doing something in the Beis Hamikdash. So what's the Tosfos Shonim's proof? A Mitzayra. A Mitzayra doesn't go into the Azara to do any avoid. He only goes in to be part of a process. So if the definition of the Mishnah avoid means actually bringing a carbon, so why does Mitzayra need tefillah? He's not doing a carbon. So it must be, says the Tosfos Shonim, that avoid doesn't mean actually bringing a carbon, anything that's related to the process of Kedusha. Amalei Abayla Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yehuda, the Amasach tefillah, who's that? According to Rabbi Yehuda, we explain, the Gemara at the bottom of Amud Aleph, that the entire reason that he goes to the mikveh is that it should serve as a reminder, perhaps I'm tamei. So normally when a person goes to the mikveh, we notice the concept of chatzitza. He has to make sure that there's nothing on his body. Here, that he's only going to the mikveh as a reminder, is it chaitzitz or ina chaitzitz? Will the halachas of chatzitza apply or not? Tosfos says, the question could be even according to Ben Zayma. According to Ben Zayma, that Tosfos says that only when a person is going in for avoda is there a chiyuv d'oraisa to do tefillah. But if a person is going into the azara, just because he's going to the azara, the chiyuv is only midrabbanan. Ask the Gemara, is there a concept of chatzitza or not? Amleso responds, called the tikkun rabbanan, calling the raisa tikkun. Wherever Chazal gives us a halacha, they fashion it after the way the Raisa says it. So since when a person has to go to the mikveh, midai Raisa, he has to make sure there's no chatzitza. Here too, even though according to Yehuda, he's only going into the mikveh as a wake-up call, as a reminder, am I not tamei? He still has to make sure there's no chatzitza. So Tosfos points out that this is the only place in Shas that the Gemara has the Shaila. Certainly anywhere where Chazal tell us that you have to go to the mikveh, you have to do it right and make sure there's no chatzitza. Here the Gemara Shaila is, since it's such a remote reason that a person has to go to the mikveh only because perhaps he's Tomei, does the Gemara have a Shaila, is there an issue of chatzitza or not? In fact, the Gemara Masechta Bracha says, we learned it, the concept of Tfilas Ezra. That Ezra said that before a person learns Torah Davins, if he had an emission of Zerav, semen, he has to go to the mikveh. But the Gemara says, Haloi Dvari Ka'esh Nom Hashem, that since Torah is like fire and fire purifies, so Chazal said that a person doesn't have to be makbid on Tefillas Ezra. Says the Torah, let's say a person is makbid on Tefillas Ezra. Even though the Gemara says you don't have to be makbid, he wants to do what Tefillas Ezra and go to the mikveh. Since it's only a chumra ba'alma, he doesn't have to worry about a chatzitza. But I saw the Shar Mitzion Balacha says, even though for Tefillas Ezra, we're mekel that you don't have to have a chatzitza, what's the halacha of a person goes to the mikveh Erev Yom Kippur? He says there a person has to be careful not to have a chatzitza. Because says the reason you're supposed to go to the mikveh Erev Yom Kippur is for two reasons. One is because of Tefillas Ezra. Erev Yom Kippur, everybody should be machmer on Tefillas Ezra. But furthermore, he says, the reason a person is supposed to go to mikveh Erev Yom Kippur is because of tshuva. That's one of the ways a person accomplishes tshuva. So since now we have two reasons a person goes to the mikveh Erev Yom Kippur, tefillas Ezra and tshuva, he should be makpid that there's no chatzitza on his body as much as possible.